you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This hour, you're inside looking at the world of mixed martial arts. Last night, Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2. I don't get this, folks. They both had the same card, of course, topped by Matt Brown and Eric Silva. To get some insight on this, we bring in one of our UFC and MMA insiders. I'm talking about my man, Zach Young. What's up, Big Zach?
Hey, how you doing, Pedro?
Pretty good. Talk to me. UFC Fight Night 40, pretty good last night?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty entertaining overall. The main event was good.
Okay. And speaking of, before we get to the fight card, what about being on two different channels? Is that a pain in the butt to you? It is to me.
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense to me, and I was struggling to find where it was. Like, I always struggle to find out where these cards are going to be, like every fight night that they do. So I don't know. It doesn't make much sense.
I mean, the opener was on opening bouts were on USC Fight Pass, and they went to Fox Sports 2 for 1, 2, 3, 4 fights, and then they went to the main card with Fox Sports 1 for 6 fights. But I mean, a lot of fights, good fights, that kind of stuff, but. Man, I don't think people can be – look, it isn't easy for me. It's not easy for you, and we're sort of computer hip, and we're looking around for stuff on the Internet all the time, okay? And if we can't get it and we can't get it on our cable channels, there's a problem.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's definitely probably affecting the viewership.
Okay, what about the underdogs? A lot of underdogs won last night.
Yeah, they did. Cruikshank, I didn't even realize he was that big of an underdog, and I guess he was after he beat Koch. A lot of people were surprised. I didn't think it was that shocking, but, I mean, you know, that was a big upset to a lot of people.
Okay. Go back to the main event, Matt Brown knocking out TKO in round number 3, 2 minutes and 11 seconds with punches of Eric Silva. How'd that fight open up?
It opened up well. I mean, Silva was doing pretty well at first, but then for the final, like, 2.5 rounds, he basically was taking a beating. It was kind of – and I feel for Silva because he's a really exciting fighter to watch, but, I mean, it seems like he's hit kind of a wall in the division.
I'm going to switch gears just for a second. There was a boxing match on this past Saturday, of course, the successor to Vitaly Klitschko in the WBC championship, Berman Stavern, beating Chris Areola. Did you think that, I mean, Areola got his weight down to 239. Did you think that was like, do you think he was in shape? Or I thought he was gassed after 4.
He looked like he had what they call man boobs. So I wouldn't really, no, he didn't look like he was in the greatest shape. He did seem like he was tired.
Yeah, and he got tired quick and, of course, got knocked out in the 6 rounds. Now back to the UFC. Kostas Filippou. Another winner. He beat Lorenz Larkin straight up with a KO in the first round. What's this middleweight going to do? Is he going to ever break the top 5?
It doesn't really seem like it to me. I believe he's a welterweight, but yeah,
he fought in middle last night.
Oh, did he fight? Was that middleweight? I didn't even realize that was a middleweight fight. Okay. Yeah, well, I don't know. To me, he really struggled at welterweight, and I don't know. Maybe middleweight will be better for him, but it kind of seems like it's going to be more difficult than anything.
Is there a title fight in Brown's future, immediate future, or did that win catapult him to a title fight or what?
I don't think that one win will, but he's on an impressive streak, and yeah, I think he'll be fighting for the title soon, and I really like the welterweight title picture right now. There's a lot of fighters out there who can really give, like, Johnny Hendricks a challenge, and I think that's exciting.
Okay, does GSP come back, George St. Pierre?
It doesn't seem like he's going to come back, but, I mean, you can never count that out, but I haven't heard anything about him back.
Do you think he was – he said he was disgusted with the UFC and Dana White because he wanted to do some extra drug testing by VADA or WADA or whatever the association was, and that Hendricks had balked at it, and the UFC didn't back him up on that, and he was a little ticked off, so – he's not happy with the UFC. And then, you know, him losing the fight with Hendricks or actually winning the fight. But when Dana White goes on TV and says you only won one round, doesn't look too good for you, and that doesn't put you in the best of spirits. So I think those two things, and you know, combine his great pride, this and that, I don't think he's going to be kissing Dana's butt and going back.
Right, and do you think that was really the right thing for Dana White to do? I mean, I like the honesty, but do you think it was right for him to kind of embarrass his welterweight champion like that?
Well, not his flag bearer. Not the guy that carried the company for a while. You hear what I mean? Those sold-out cars up there in Canada on pay-per-view and live sold out in the arena. I mean, they did big bucks, and he was a star for a long time. He needs to be given his props.
Yeah, I definitely. And I mean, I can't really blame GSP for being upset about the way that that was handled.
You know, Dana White says a lot of crazy things, and he's a, I don't want to say he's erratic. Okay, I will say he's erratic, because he'll sign up for radio interviews, and then 10 minutes before, the PR guy will call you and say, Dana, cancel. I mean, and then you hear these quotes from him, these off-the-wall quotes, F this, F that. He likes to drop F-bombs everywhere he goes, but I guess that's Dana White. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, he's a president of the UFC. He is the face of the UFC, and the UFC is the number one brand in the world of mixed martial arts.
Round number one, schedule for three. Oh! He catches Ray with a shot. Ray ties him up. Keep on the aggressive. Tries to grab Ray and drag him down together. There he goes!
Ray's a unable game for tomorrow. Middle Kimball. Shot like a wild animal.
He is wild. Ray is going to get past this early fury. Look at Kimball with the Muay Thai kicks. He's got it all. Ray trying to line up a shot and weather the storm. He knows what it's like to have to weather an early storm.
Yeah, the short race punch is hammering in. First is going to have to get back to arm's length to be what to be in his toughest zone now. Muay Thai clutches solid knees for the midsection. Kimball narrowly reversal. Now lining up with boxing combinations. Who could have thought that this would have happened? Mercer laying against the cage, eating blow after blow, elbow, body shot, and now a double leg takedown, and it's back on the ground.
Well, he's got him glitched up, though. Ray's got a lot of power. He's got him in a headlock, but you see the way Kimbo was able to break that. He's so strong. He's actually got him in side control. How about this? He runs the canvas, and Ray's on top now. Look at this stuff.
Who would have said it would be Kimbo on the back with Ray Mercer in his guard? Kimbo tapping out. Guillotine jump. Tap out win for Kimbo.
Just like that, he caught him in the guillotine, and before it could start, we wouldn't believe it would have ended in a guillotine chokehold, but he caught Ray, and this Kimbo up on the cage.
This crowd going insane. Kimbo climbing to the top of the cage like King Kong on the top of the Empire State Building. Mixed martial arts world, Kimbo has given his notice. He's here, and he needs to stick around.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Did you go to law school?
No. Clown school.
This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The sounds of the great Perry Mason. Ray, remember, lived up here in Northern California, Napa, for a lot of his life. The bottom line is that was a great TV show. In fact, the DA only won one case. I never saw the episode, but I think his name was Hamilton Burger, Hamburger. He was a district attorney. He only won one case against Perry Mason. Now, before we went to the break, we're talking with Zach Young, the Zach Attack at ringtalk.com as far as boxing and the world of mixed martial arts is concerned. We were talking about, of course, UFC Fight Night last night and the fact that, you know, Dana White says stuff off the cuff all the time, Dana White being the president of the UFC. He said this last night at the press conference, quote, Brock Lesnar called me, Brock Lesnar being the current WWE star and former UFC heavyweight champion. Brock Lesnar called me and begged me to make Pat Barry retire, White said. Brock said, I don't consider too many people my friend, and I consider Pat Barry a friend. Dana, you got to get this guy to retire. White continued. I said, listen, he's a grown man, Brock. What am I going to do? It's different with guys like Forrest Griffin and Chuck Liddell, guys I've had relations with for a long time, guys who made a lot of money. That's the difference. You look at a Forrest and Chuck, these guys are multimillionaires. It's easy to make them quit. It's a lot tougher to make a guy quit when he has to do it for a living. He goes on. I don't want to hurt Pat Barry or throw a monkey wrench in his life or anything like that, but at the end of the day, the State Athletic Commission is going to need to step in and give a guy like Pat Barry, make him retire or people that care about him. Since leaving the UFC, Pat Barry, who had some fight of the night knockouts, both winning and losing, Barry has been fighting as a kickboxer and was brutally knocked out by Zach McQuessa last week in his debut with the Glory promotion. Pat Barry was a good guest on this show, man. Pat Barry, I feel for him. I think that Dana went off the cuff here, and I think this was a good time. Zach?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because Pat Barry is the was the shortest heavyweight on the UFC roster. I forget how tall he was, 5'10 or something like that. Okay, so he was vertically challenged, he used to tell me. And he used to, you know, he used to always put forth a good fight, and he knocked out a few guys that he wasn't supposed to knock out, and then he's been knocked out himself. But, you know, there comes a time in this blood sport, in this hurting sport, where people have got to be, you know, they've got to be forced to retire. I mean, we're listening to Kimbo Slice in that clip coming into this segment here of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by Alchemy Water. There's a difference in the water you drink. Check out the difference at alchemywater.com. That's alkame water.com. But Ray Mercer was in that fight with Kimbo Slice. Ray Mercer should have been fighting. He was fighting as a boxer until he was like 45. Then he switched over to MMA. There's got to be something. There's got to be some type of federal legislation. I'm saying it again. We need an athletic commission across the board, a national commission to cover combat sports. I think both boxing and mixed martial arts. Zach, what's your spin on that?
I mean, as you were talking about this, it reminded me of the end of the great Sugar Ray Robinson. I remember hearing that he was getting beat up in these exhibition fights by his journeyman, and Miles Davis came up to him after one fight and said, "That's it, you know, like you're done."
Miles Davis was a cool guy. He used to go to the fights at the L.A. Forum, right? And I used to talk to him back in the day. Miles Davis, good guy. Anyway, go on, Zach. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh no, I mean, I was basically done. I just thought it was, you know, it's. I think a fighter is the last person to really know that they're done a lot of times, and it's sad to see. Pat Barry, I mean, he had a lot of exciting fights. He had an exciting career, but I don't know. I don't want to see him get hurt. He has a very fun personality, and it's sad to see somebody go out like that.
We're talking about Pat Barry, folks. He, I guess, journeyman heavyweight or gatekeeper or whatever you want to call it. But the bottom line is he put forth some entertaining fights, both winning and losing. And Brock Lesnar wants him to retire. And Dana White says, well, you know, what am I supposed to do? But I think Dana bringing this out last night sort of if Pat Barry was thinking retirement, he might be thinking retirement just a little bit more after that.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Brock Lesnar, I mean, he knows all about retirement, so okay. I think it's a good move, and I hope that Pat Barry listens to that.
Zach Young, the Zach Attack of ringtalk.com, that's RINGTALK, ringtalk.com. He covers boxing both and MMA. We're talking with the Zach Attack, and of course, I talked earlier with Mark Munoz, Double M, taking on Gugar Mousasi. That's May 31st at the O2 Arena in Berlin, Germany. Munoz going to win this fight? He needs a win desperately.
He does need a win, but Mousasi's a very tough fighter. I mean, you saw him go five rounds with Machida, and he got beat up in there, but he stayed in the fight. I don't know. I mean, if I had to bet on that, I would probably bet on Mousasi to win that one.
Okay, what about the weights? Wasn't it a different weight?
Yeah, I believe it is a different weight. Yeah, I think it's higher up than they're used to being, but
what I'm trying to say is I think they're going to fight it. I was under the impression they're going to fight this at 185. Wasn't Mousasi beating guys at 205?
Yeah, he's used to fighting it at a larger weight, so I think that he will have, like, the advantage in that way, you know?
You know what? Cutting weight, people laugh at it. Oh, I'll just move up in weight. I'll just move up in weight. You know, that's the way I used to think, Zach, and I was struggling making junior welterweight for a long time, and this one last championship that I won in San Francisco, I take it back in 84 and I won the third one, I said to myself, well, I'm just going to move up to welterweight, okay? I moved up from junior welter to welter. Man, I got spanked in the Nationals, okay? Those guys were so big, you just wouldn't believe it, you know? And these guys cutting weight and putting on weight, and Mousasi cutting weight from 205 coming down to 185, that's 20 pounds!
Yeah, that's a huge difference, and I mean, That could play a role, you know. Maybe he won't have as good a stamina or something. But yeah, I mean, it's a big difference. It really is. I mean, from junior welter to welter in boxing is 7 pounds, but even that can be a huge difference.
Yeah. What about what's happening with Uriah Faber? What weight did he start out as a lightweight?
I think so. It's hard to keep track of.
And
that
he dropped guy. Down, he's and he's but he, what I'm trying to say is he dropped 20 pounds. He's fighting at 135 now.
Yeah, and I think that's a better weight for him. I mean, I think as low as you can go comfortably is somebody's, you know, it's a good weight for somebody. You don't want to have to, if you're not that naturally big, you don't want to have to fight people that are cutting 20 pounds when you're, like, right on that weight.
So anyway, besides the Fox Sports 1 and the Fox Sports 2 thing, that snafu, it was a pretty good card, huh?
I thought it was good. I definitely liked the main event. I mean, Silva's always an exciting fighter, and Matt Brown is too. So they put on a good show for the fans. And, I mean, I feel sorry for Silva because I'm not sure how much longer he'll be in the UFC. But yeah, it was a good fight.
Fabrice Werdum, the man that silenced Travis Brown a fortnight ago, I silenced me too in that five-round dominant win. I didn't think that he was going to win that fight. A lot of people thought that Travis Brown was the up-and-comer in the heavyweight division, but maybe he still is, but this was a setback for him, no question about that. But it looks like mid-November, Mexico City, 22,000 seats, Cain Velasquez defending, a Mexican-American defending the UFC heavyweight championship. Is this going to tear Mexico City down or what?
It just might.
I mean, Mexico City's had so many different sporting events. Chavez and Hogan outside, Chavez and Tony Lopez, I think, outside in 45 and 60,000 seat stadiums, things like that. But I really think that when the UFC comes to town, because I told you before, the demographics say that when Strikeforce was on Showtime, there were more Mexican-Americans percentage-wise per capita watching MMA than there were watching boxing.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not totally surprised, you know, and I think if they're smart, they'll really market Kane down there, and they'll have him come out in like a luchador costume or something like that.
I think that for Werdum, I think Werdum should do the heel role. I think Werdum should come out like with a sombrero and just disrespect. You know, I mean, I know it's not that type of guy, but this is the way you build a promotion. Maybe you won't have to build it here, but I think that would be great if he came out and he sort of, you know, like Bernard Hopkins throwing the bag of beans on the tables in Puerto Rico, and he was going to fight Felix Trinidad, the national outcry that started. It was sort of good for the game.
Yeah, I think so. Or even like Floyd Mayweather coming out in like Mexican colors or in a sombrero. Like it's a good way to build crowd anticipation.
Okay, speaking of Floyd Mayweather, a winner last week, of course, against Marcos Medina. Medina's a B fighter, I think, at best, and not the most skilled fighter in the entire world. And yet, I thought he put up a good effort against Floyd Mayweather. I think Mayweather's slipping, and I think that the end could come at any time. What's your outlook on that?
He very well may be. I mean, that fight, that was the most entertaining Mayweather fight I've seen in years. You know, it was Marcos gave him the best fight I've seen someone give him. But I don't know. I mean, he may be slipping, but maybe people just aren't giving Maidana enough credit. I think he has a really awkward style. I think he's improved a lot, and he's able to land his shots.
This is the MMA Hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Of course, we air Saturdays and Sundays. Saturday, we can combine both boxing and MMA into 1 hour at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then we come back on Sunday, the Sunday show, a two-hour edition. Ring Talk Hour number one is all about boxing. The second hour is all about MMA. Eric Silva was carried from the octagon last night on a stretcher and taken to a Cincinnati hospital for a possible broken jaw and concussion, but he's been given a clean bill of health. So thank goodness that Eric Silva didn't get hurt. But that was a punishing ending.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, he was tough, but I don't know. You can't take too many shots like that.
Sometimes being tough is not good. You know what I mean? Sometimes being extra tough. The guys that lose fights and take beatings, losing fights, that's not good. The guys that take the early dives or they get cracked early, you know, they tend to fare better as far as neurologically is concerned.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a quick knockout isn't as bad as like a five-round beating, like the type that Junior Dos Santos was taking against Cain Velasquez.
Okay, real quick, 30 seconds. Renan Barreiro and TJ Dillashaw, May 24th, MGM Grand Garden. Champion going to continue being champion?
Yeah, I think so. I really think Dillashaw's a good fighter, and maybe in a few years he'll be at that level, but I don't know. It's just hard to bet against Barreiro at this point. He's just a phenomenal talent.
The Zach Attack, Zach Young, folks, is featured at ringtalk.com. That's RINGTALK, ringtalk.com. He covers both boxing and mixed martial arts, and he is a noted co-host of this show. Zach, all the best to you, my brother.
All right, have a great weekend, Pedro.
All right, Zach Young of ringtalk.com.